Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic Singles. Every day, hundreds of Catholic singles join CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media listeners get 20% off by using the promo code BREADBOX when they register. Come be our next success story at CatholicSingles.com. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Oh yeah. There's that game show music. It is time for the Catholic Answers game show. Is that the name of it, or is it quiz show? Am I supposed to say quiz show? We never can remember what we called this thing. I think we call it Final Judgment. That's my new thing. I'm just going to start calling the game. It's called Final Judgment. Welcome to your Final Judgment. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host this hour. Sometimes we wrap up on a Friday with a good game show. We have a couple of what appear to be excellent contestants, but we will find out shortly if that is the case. And to help them answer questions and to navigate their way through their final judgment is our angel. I don't know. I just, it's like your final judgment. I tried to throw an angel in there.
I'm a rational animal.
Well, that's true.
Not
you are.
An angel. Right. Get it right, Cy. Come on, man.
That's true. Carlo Broussard is our special guest.
I do not get wings when the bell rings.
No, nor do any of the angels. They don't actually, I don't know if you know this, but angels don't actually have wings.
Indeed, they do not.
They cannot drink Red Bull. They do not have bodies. But those wings are there. I think I learned this
from
you.
I like the wings. They're quite gruff.
They're there in those depictions to depict the fact that an angel can swiftly be wherever the angel is needed or
works
wants.
For me, brother.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
How we do this game show.
All right. Here's how the game show works. I'll tell you what. I'll give you. And you know what? I think I'll introduce our guests first.
Great idea.
And then I'll give them the so that it's fresh in your memory, the rules of the game show. We have, well, I'll tell you what. I'll let you introduce yourselves. I'll say it this way. What is your first name? And what is there anything interesting
Real
about
smooth.
You?
Mm-hmm. You go first.
My name is Rachel. Yes.
Hi,
that
Rachel.
Was very smooth.
Okay. And is there anything interesting about you, Rachel? What's interesting about you?
I would not know what to say to that.
Really?
No, she has a lot of interesting things.
Let's see. I was adopted by my dad's sister. And some music.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
I do some music on the side.
Very good. Yeah. All right. Well, you're speaking to a musician here, you know.
Oh, I did not know
like
that.
What instrument do you play? Do you play an instrument?
I play guitar and also a little bit of drums. Yeah, but I usually play with a band. We were at the March for Life, actually.
Cool. That's very cool. Good
awesome.
For you. What's the name of the band? You can give them a plug. That's all right.
They're just my friends, so we just say the Rachel Praise Band, but I don't like it called that yet, so we're going to have to rename it later
awesome.
At a later date.
Okay,
but
that's interesting.
Fair enough.
But why did you have, that's like a lot of interesting things about you very, very quickly. So
God is good.
God is good. Thank you, Rachel. And next to Rachel, your first name and anything that's interesting about you?
Arelli.
Arelli?
Arelli, yes.
I'll try not to mispronounce that, Arelli.
I know, it's really hard too.
Yeah.
But I'm not as interesting as Rachel, but...
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
No. I guess I am a teacher. I work
Sweet.
With Native American students.
Wow.
And
on tribal lands, or
where? Yeah, tribal lands here in San Diego with Kumeyaay beautiful. Students.
Wonderful.
Yes, shout out to them. Free propaganda. and
I don't know what that meant, but all right. You're just trying to promote that, what you do.
Yeah. I'm kidding. I'm going to trouble for And my young adult group is actually Apologetic Space. I started knowing about Catholic Answers through them.
Now, you're the head of a Catholic young adult group.
Not the head. I help out.
You help out. Yeah. Okay, but you're the head. So I promoted you. Yes. And is it at a parish? Or?
Yeah, it is at a parish.
And is Rachel a member of that group?
She is not.
She's not. All right, no. So we'll have to recruit Rachel into that.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, fair enough. All right, here's the rules of the game show. You are playing for a fabulous room full of Catholic Answers gifts and prizes. And the rules are as follows. There are three rounds in the game show. Three rounds. The first two, you will play against each other. Then one of you will be eliminated. We will refer to that person from here forward as the loser. And that person will be eliminated.
At which time the friendship here might
as a sense of your friendship.
It will continue.
And then then the winner of the first two rounds proceeds to final judgment, where there will be seven true or false questions. In the first round, you are given two, let's call them eternal lifelines. And the first eternal lifeline is you just get to ask Carlo to eliminate one wrong answer, because you'll be given multiple choice questions and there's three answers. Just say, Carlo, eliminate one of the wrong answers. Then you got it down to a 50-50. Okay, that's one of your lifelines. The other lifeline is you can just ask Carlo to give you the correct answer. He just gives it to you for free. There is a catch, however. You forgot this.
I still gotta do that.
The catch is he has to give you the answer in Pig Latin. If you don't know Pig Latin, I'm very sorry, but you'll just have to try to figure out. Do either of you speak Pig Latin?
No, sadly, no.
We speak the Spanish version of Pig Latin. Cuti, yo, cuti, te, cuti.
What?
Okay.
No.
Carlo can't do that either. So,
no can do.
Carlo, how many skills do you have?
He has got a lot of skills, but that's not one of them. Okay, so the two lifelines. They will be good for both rounds, but once you've used either one of them, they're gone. Okay? So if you save them for the second round, that's fine. But all I ask you is at some point use the Pig Latin one, because we want to hear Carlo speak Pig Latin.
I definitely will.
Okay?
Yeah, I definitely will.
Yeah. Okay.
But come on, help me out. Don't, like, yes, if the answer is super long, don't do it.
You just gave me an idea.
Okay, are you nervous because of that giant audience watching you
over
there?
Yes, very nervous.
Listen, if at any point you start to feel nervous, just remember people around the world listening.
Are you saying Nick is giant?
Nick is giant. Nick's a giant of a man. Hey, Nick brought his son Dominic in to work this morning.
Awesome,
it was
man.
Sweet. Dominic was so nice.
He's a giant of a dad.
He looked at me and his little lower lip started quivering, like, I think I'm going to cry. And I had to leave the room. Babies don't like me at all. Okay, so since Rachel introduced herself first, she will be contestant number one. And you... Arely will be a contestant number two. That will only become important if we have to use a tiebreaker after the first two rounds. And here is the tiebreaker. I'll explain it if we need it.
Okay.
I'm going to move the tiebreaker. I almost ruined it right there. All right. So you ready for some questions?
Disclaimer before we begin.
Yeah.
I'm extremely sleep deprived. Okay. And that's just my disclaimer. No,
that's
it's
okay.
not.
I've been drinking
you know
all day. It's going to be fine.
I was just told about this yesterday.
It's just an excuse.
All right. It's time to play. We've got your disclaimers. The disclaimers are in. They mean nothing to us, but they are in. Okay. So here's your first multiple choice question. I do want to encourage those at home to play along, gather the family
Please
around the old Victrola and join in and see how you can do. I will read the questions twice so that people listening at home can get a clear impression of the questions. And then I'll go to you for your answer. All right. So don't just jump in. We want to let the kids and grandma and grandpa and mom and dad, everybody have a chance to try to get their answer in. Question number one for you, Rachel.
Oh, gosh.
Private revelation, as happened at Fatima, is A, an important addition to the gospel, B, a possible aid to help people live the gospel, but that adds nothing to the gospel, or C, required for all the faithful to accept once the church approves it. The question is, private revelation as happened at Fatima is A, important, an important addition to the gospel, B, a possible aid to help people live the gospel that adds nothing to the gospel, or C, required for all the faithful to accept once the church approves them.
Answer, I was going to say number two, but B.
That's job.
That very lackluster sound that Nick found. Is that means you got it correct.
Good job.
Oh, yay. Awesome. Confetti. Why didn't you give us confetti?
Oh. Sorry. It's not a fiesta yet, okay? That's why we didn't have confetti.
It's a fiesta
there
for
will be,
me.
There will
okay,
be a fiesta
and
a pinata
right.
later. But for right now, Carlo, what do you think about that? It doesn't add anything to the gospel?
Doesn't add anything to the gospel. The catechism teaches this particularly and exactly in paragraph 67. Of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It says, private revelations don't belong to the deposit of faith. It's not their role to improve or complete Christ's definitive revelation, but to help live that revelation more fully in a certain period of history. So we're not adding anything to Jesus here. It's just an extra help that Jesus gives us to live the Christian faith more faithfully.
Congratulations, sleep-deprived Rachel. We now go to Arely.
That's my nickname. I kind of like it.
Arely, your first question. Catholics believe that marriage is A, an eternal bond, B, a lifelong bond, C, a lifelong bond, except in cases of annulment. Catholics believe, Arely, that marriage is A, an eternal bond, B, a lifelong bond, or C, a lifelong bond, except in cases of annulment. It's kind of a trick question a little bit.
Yeah, I got the hard question.
Here comes the music. Oh, no, there's way harder ones.
I have to say,
while Aurelie's thinking about this, I'll just tell the rest of you that some people online were saying, make the questions harder this time. What happened to the music?
We got lucky. Okay, can you repeat it one more?
Yes, I can.
Time, please.
Aurelie, Catholics believe that marriage... I'm not going to cheat. But you could just watch me while I read this question.
Okay.
Catholics believe that marriage is an eternal bond, a lifelong bond, or a lifelong bond except in cases of annulment.
Is it B?
What? Really?
Wow.
That was fantastic.
Wow.
Good for you.
Hicieron trampa, mira.
Yes.
That was not cheating.
It's not, Rachel.
What about this, Carlo? I thought it might be a lifelong bond except in cases of annulment.
Well, no, because remember, Jesus Christ said, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. An annulment is simply a declaration that God never joined together in the first place.
So there was no marriage.
There was no marriage. Mm-hmm. It's not a dissolution, nor is it an eternal bond. Because Jesus himself says in Matthew 22:30, that in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. So marriage
like
is
you,
something...
Carla. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I'm that's sorry. Right. That's interesting. We were just talking about that at the beginning. Yeah. So marriage is something that Jesus gives us for this life, and then the bond ceases to exist in the next.
We are in the midst of our Catholic Answers game show. Sleep-deprived Rachel and Arely are our contestants. We are all tied up at 1-1, and it has been completely fair so far. Today ends Sanctity of Life Month, and we've got a brand new ebook. It's not brand new. It's a month old now. But we got an ebook for all of our listeners. It's free until the end of today. Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, Pro-Life Answers for Everyone. You'll really enjoy this ebook. Just go over to shop.catholic.com today and look for the banner at the top of the page to download your free copy. But you got to act today. This is the last day to get the free ebook at shop.catholic.com. Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, Pro-Life Answers for Everyone.
This is Harry Connick Jr., and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Catherine Zeltner. There are so many misconceptions when it comes to abortion and assisted suicide. It's really confusing, and I think for a lot of people, they don't know how to talk about these things. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, we help to change that. We help to really untangle these web of lies. Listeners can expect to become informed and then grow more confident so that they can then discuss and dialogue these issues, and together we can really impact culture in that way.
EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on EWTN Radio.
Part where we dance. Hello? Am I the only one dancing? What's up? Welcome back to the Catholic Answers Live game show. Sleep Deprived Rachel is playing against Arelli, and Carla Broussard is our guest. We are in the midst of the first round. These are multiple choice questions. Please play along at home and let us know how you did if you send us a note over at radio@catholic.com. It'd be fun to hear how you and your family did on the game show. Sleep Deprived Rachel, your next question. In the Eucharist, A, Christ leaves heaven to share his body with us. B, Christ remains in heaven and shares his bodily substance with us. C, Christ shares only his spirit with us, but remains physically in heaven. These are really hard. And I'm aware of that. There are a few really hard questions on this quiz. Eucharist, I got to read it again.
Go ahead.
A, Christ leaves heaven to share his body with us. B, Christ remains in heaven and shares his bodily substance with us. Or C, Christ shares only his spirit with us, but remains physically in heaven.
I'm so torn, but...
Remember, you could get a lifeline.
Oh, I could?
Yeah, remember?
Well, I'm gonna say B. If not, it's A.
No, you can't do that! Pick B or A.
Or a lifeline. Remember, pig Latin.
Excuse me, he gave you the sound. You didn't hear him? You said B and he gave you the sound that you got it correct.
Well, I don't know these sounds. They're office keyboard clicks.
I don't. You got it correct.
No offense.
This was a very hard question. What does that mean, that Christ remains in heaven but shares his bodily substance with us?
Well, it means that he does not leave heaven. So Jesus in his glorified humanity, wherever he's at,
wherever he's at
in the physical cosmos, he does not leave that physical location when he, by his divine power, makes the substance and the reality of his body present under the appearance of bread on the altar at every Catholic Mass where you have a valid consecration. So there's no change taking place in Jesus's glorified humanity, whether change in the quantity of his body, change in the place, there's no change whatsoever. And that's a miracle. That requires divine power for that to happen. So kudos to you, Rachel, for getting that correct.
But you also didn't choose Christ shares only his spirit with us but remains physically in heaven. You weren't even tempted on that one.
Can you repeat it?
The last answer was Christ shares only his spirit with us, and you were not even tempted.
Well, because Christ is physically present, so he doesn't give only a part of himself, but he gives himself completely.
I don't think you're that sleep deprived, right?
I am.
All right.
If he was only giving us his spirit, it would just be a spiritual presence. Right. Like he's with us where two or three are gathered, right? Yeah. It wouldn't be unique as that unique presence that Pope St. Paul VI called, right?
Yeah. Arelli, you ready?
No.
Okay, this is a really hard one, too. I'm sorry. The questions are just really
They're
hard
good.
This time.
They are really good.
They're good.
All right, which technique... I know this is a weird question, but I'll explain why it's weird after it's over. Which technique... And I'm not going to cheat for you this time, Arelli. Which technique is not used in the New Testament to argue that Jesus is the Messiah? Okay, so the New Testament writers do not use one of these three techniques to argue that Jesus is the Messiah. Pointing out how Jesus fulfilled Old Testament prophecies regarding the Messiah. B, pointing out that Jesus was a descendant of Moses. Or C, appealing to miracles connected with Jesus to show his role in God's plan. One of these is not a way that New Testament authors argue that Jesus is the Messiah. A, pointing to how Jesus fulfilled Old Testament prophecies regarding the Messiah. B, pointing out that Jesus was a descendant of Moses, or C, appealing to miracles connected with Jesus to show his role in God's plan.
I think I'm going to get a lifeline.
Lena De Vida.
Which one? Which lifeline?
Right.
Wait, which ones do I get
you
again?
You can do 50-50, or you can make him say it, the correct answer in Pig Latin.
I'll do the second one.
Pig Latin?
The Pig
yes.
Latin one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just for fun.
Now, it's taking the first letter off, putting it on the N, and adding an A.
An A. Yeah.
Or like A. Or
so
a
you're
a
really
sound.
Slow.
Okay.
Really, really slow.
Oh, he's gonna.
Okay.
Believe
Ointing
me.
Pay, Utoe, Hatse, Yezuje, Aswe, Ae, Ascendente,
oh,
Foe, here we go, Osesme.
Was it B, 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 B?
Good job, good job. That was excellent. Actually, I had fun doing that one, brother.
So why did the New Testament writers not use the fact that Jesus is a descendant of Moses?
Well, perhaps because that's not in any of the prophecies. I mean, Moses did prophesy in Deuteronomy 18 that there would be a prophet like unto him.
Yeah.
But none of the prophecies spoke of a
descendant
of Moses. And of course, we know the other two are correct because Matthew 2:5 records the reference to Micah 5:2 about the Messiah being born in Bethlehem, right? So that's appealing to an Old Testament prophecy for Jesus being the Messiah. And then the appealing to the miracles with regard to Jesus being the Messiah. We mentioned this in the previous the previous show, Matthew 11:5, Jesus himself refers to the prophecy of Isaiah 35:5-6 about the Messiah performing miracles. The blind shall see, the lame shall walk, the deaf shall hear, etc. So,
awesome. Quick bonus question. You get nothing if you get this one right. What either one of you could say this. What great leader of the Jewish people is Jesus a descendant of? He's a descendant of
Abraham.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Good job.
All right, there you go.
Amen.
Fine, thanks. I was going
Father
for David,
Abraham
but you went all the way back.
Had many sons.
All right, your final question of round one. Thus far, we are tied in round one. Your final question, sleep-deprived Rachel.
We're tied.
Part of the reason Catholics wear ashes on Ash Wednesday is...
You get the easy questions.
Part of the reason that Catholics wear ashes on Ash Wednesday is that A, ashes were used to mark slaves in the Old Testament. B, in the Old Testament, the wearing of ashes symbolized sorrow for sin. C, Jesus said, remember, man, that thou art dust, and unto dust you shall return. Part of the reason why Catholics wear ashes on Ash Wednesday is A, ashes were used to mark slaves in the Old Testament. B, in the Old Testament, the wearing of ashes symbolized sorrow for sin. Or C, Jesus said, remember, man, that thou art dust, and unto dust you shall return.
Oh!
I was going to say B. I was, but I didn't.
Nope, she did not.
Aurelia, you thought that was an easy question, huh?
I did. I was going to say C, though.
That was my original one. Because in the Book of Esther,
when we receive ashes.
Well, what's interesting to mourn is that to dust you shall return. That's coming
deprived.
From Genesis 3:19.
I know, Jesus didn't say that.
Where so God says that to Adam. Now, technically speaking, in Jesus' divine nature, he has the same intellect and will as the Father and the Holy Spirit. Mm. So by virtue of his divine nature,
I'm groaning.
The second person of the Blessed Trinity, whom we call Jesus.
He did say half of it. But the fact is that in the Hebrew scriptures, in the Old Testament, to wear ashes is a sign of repentance of sin.
That's right. And listen, there's tons of references. All you got to do is just like...
read the Bible. Oh, sorry. My bad.
It's in the Book of Esther, for your information.
Oh,
I do know that.
Look at her go.
I know that.
There's tons of references.
And I'm sleep deprived.
All right, Thomas is
concordance.
I think Thomas is keeping score, so let's give her half a point on that one.
No, I don't need... I don't need some... No.
It's not charity.
I need charity, but...
Don't give her half a point.
Not that kind of charity.
I brought her for a reason.
Aurelia, you're a horrible person.
I knew that she was sleep deprived.
Okay, let's give Aurelia a really hard question.
Here we go.
Final question of round one. One reason in vitro fertilization is morally unacceptable is... One reason in vitro fertilization is morally unacceptable is A, God creates life without our cooperation and we cannot interfere with that. B, in vitro fertilization separates a child's conception from the conjugal act of its parents. Or C, there is no certainty that an artificially conceived person will have a soul. Let me do that again for the people at home. One reason in vitro fertilization is morally unacceptable is A, God creates life without our cooperation and we cannot interfere with that. B,
In vitro fertilization separates a child's conception from the conjugal act of its parents. Or C, there is no certainty that an artificially conceived person will have a soul.
I think I'm gonna go with B, but I'm scared.
B.
That's right.
Good job. Excellent.
Yes.
That's amazing. Rachel, I would be high-fiving you too.
We can high-five or high-five. Kind of like. We can air.
You are correct. Which other one tempted you?
A.
God creates life without our cooperation.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to explain to you how babies are made. He needs our cooperation, or doesn't need, but he invites us to cooperate.
That's true.
Yeah. So.
Stop, this is on live TV.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
The answer comes from Humanae Vitae from Pope St. Paul VI in section 12, where he teaches that the doctrine that each and every marital act must of necessity retain its intrinsic relationship to the procreation of human life, often expounded by the church, is based on the inseparable connection that's established by God between the unitive significance of the conjugal act and the procreative significance. So they're connected, and anytime we attempt in the conjugal act to separate those two dimensions of the sexual act, it becomes immoral.
Nicely done. I have lost track of the score. Can anybody tell me where we are right now?
I'm not winning. I can tell you that much. Is
it 3-2?
She's
okay,
going
so
down.
You're ahead by one. Oh, you are a very mean person. Wow.
I told you, friendship might come true.
All right, it's 3-1. And three to two. And who has lifelines left?
She has.
You have
two,
both left?
And I have one.
And you have one left.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for being honest.
You're welcome. Yeah. I should have lied.
Maybe she should get an extra point.
I should
point
have lied, she said. Okay, Rachel, here's your first question of round two. Yeah. You ready?
Go for it.
By original sin, humanity has been A, totally corrupted, B, deeply wounded, or C, deprived of the ability to reason. By original sin, humanity has been A, totally corrupted, B, deeply wounded, or C, deprived of the ability to reason.
B.
Well, she got it right, but you'll have to explain why that is correct when we come back.
All right.
The answer was B, deeply wounded. We are in the midst of the Catholic Answers Live game show, quiz show. Our guests are sleep-deprived Rachel and her friend, Arely.
Best friend.
And her best friend, Arely. Her former best friend, Arely.
That you're going down.
And our superstar guest is Carlo Broussard. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host. We'll be right back to wrap this thing up and get ourselves on to Final Judgment.
This is Bishop Chad Zielinski from the Diocese of Fairbanks of Northern Alaska, and you are listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers is a media ministry that serves Christ by explaining and defending the Catholic faith. We help Catholics grow in their faith, we bring former Catholics home, and we lead non-Catholics into the fullness of the truth. Our goal is to be the most trusted and accessible source for sharing, explaining, and defending the Catholic faith through as many media as possible, from personal contact to the most innovative means of mass communication. Have questions? We've got answers. Catholic Answers. Visit us today at Catholic.com or call us with your questions at 619-387-7200.
Everybody's favorite Catholic outer space delivery pilots return for their greatest adventure yet in the brand new graphic novel Weapons of War. Fresh from saving the solar system in The Truth Is Out There and saving the timeline of salvation history in The Big Picture, Brendan and Irk land in a magnificent domed city on Mars for what is supposed to be a simple shuttle job. But soon they find themselves caught up in a sinister assault on faith and freedom. Will Mars be lost to the enemy? Brendan and Irk's only hope for the flight is in the power of God's sacramental gifts. A totally new kind of Catholic resource for apologetics and evangelization, The Truth Is Out There series combines the visual excitement and quirky humor of graphic novels with solid popular philosophy and theology. The result is a series in which everyone from teens to adults can find accessible answers to questions about God, the soul, true happiness, and much more. Order your copy of Weapons of War today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Jarvis.
I'm Monsignor Charles Pope.
And I'm Deacon Harold. The Morning Glory team talks about a dramatic moment in biblical history that almost everyone missed.
Monday morning, 7 Eastern. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Oh, yeah. It's the Catholic Answers Game Show Quiz Show. Final judgment. I am Cy Kelly, your Catholic Answers Game Show host, joined by our super special guest, Carlo Broussard. Hello, Carlo.
Hey, what's up, Cy?
Carlo, the author of Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church, and also the author most recently of a book called Meeting the Protestant Challenge.
Yep. Did you like it?
Yes. Meeting the Protestant Challenge?
Yes. Yeah,
very much so.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And we did a series of Focus episodes
we
that took some of those challenges. Yep. And so if you are not a listener to Catholic Answers Focus, that's our podcast.
More to come,
just go over to Catholic Answers Focus. Click around. You're going to find all kinds of great interviews, and a bunch of them include Carlo. I'm not giving out the phone number now because we have two guests in studio with us. We have Aureli, who is the head of – she's the leader, the inspiration behind a local Catholic young adult group. Hello, Aureli.
Hello.
She also teaches young people on the Kumaye Indian lands. Mm-hmm. That's correct?
Kumaye.
I always say Kumaye. Sorry. Mm-hmm. And then we have her very best friend, Sleep Deprived Rachel. And right now we are in the midst of round two of our game show. Who's up next? Is you, Rachel?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Is that where we are?
No, I think it's me.
Yeah. Rachel got the answer on Original Sin before the break.
So just real quick, anything you want to say about Original Sin? Why do we say we're not totally corrupted and deprived of reason, but we're just deeply wounded?
Yeah, the church teaches in paragraph 405 in the Catechism that our human nature has not been totally corrupted. However, the natural powers that we have by virtue of our nature are weakened, right? So they are wounded. We're subject to ignorance, suffering, and the dominion of death, and even the inclination to sin, which we learn in catechism class is called concupiscence, right? So not totally corrupted, and I'm glad she didn't say deprived of the ability to reason, because she was using reason in order to answer the question, right?
Yes, right.
But deeply wounded indeed, yeah. And something that it calls for spiritual combat, as the catechism points out, something we have to fight and overcome in the spiritual life.
A little note I just received from Valerie Staples. Wife of Tim Staples and mother of all seven Staples children. Cy, why are all the answers B? Thanks, Valerie. Thanks for pointing that out. They're not all B. As you will see coming up, they're not all B, but they have been all B so far.
She read your mind.
I don't know why that is.
He was just talking about that.
I'm just not good at stuff, okay? Some stuff I'm not good at. Okay, so here's your question, Aureli. Confession.
Ooh, my favorite.
Was established by Jesus. A, to cleanse us of original sin. B, to absolve us of personal sin. Or C, to seal us in the Holy Spirit. Aureli, confession was established by Jesus to A, cleanse us of original sin. B, absolve us of personal sin. Or C, seal us in the Holy Spirit.
That's a talent. I kind of want to go with B, but I don't want it to be a trend, and I just feel like the next one's
Oh, I see what you're saying.
<'Cause>, and then you did mention the rest of the questions were not going to be B.
No, I just said they're not all going to be B, and I could have been lying about
reason.
That. I have lied, okay, too.
You lied?
I've lied to Valerie Staples before, yes.
And it's about confession, and you're...
Oh, yeah,
you lied.
I probably should. I'm sorry, Valerie.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you repeat it one more time?
Yes, confession was established by Jesus to A, cleanse us of original sin, B, absolve us of personal sin, or C, seal us in the Holy Spirit.
I'm going to go with B.
Good job.
You are correct.
Excellent. Man, that took some guts because, you know, she's like wondering all this B stuff. You
know? I know.
You like threw her for a curve there, man.
I know. Sorry to do that. Ball.
You're good.
But we should have a sacrament, though. I think Jesus should have given us a sacrament to cleanse us of original sin.
That's baptism.
Oh, well, he should have given us something to seal us in the Holy Spirit, then.
That's confirmation. Very good, okay. Rachel. Yeah.
All right. Sleep deprived. Rachel, you are next.
Oh, great.
Rachel, faith is... A, a grace. B, a human act. C, both a grace and a human act. Or
I'm gonna
D,
say
Oh, go. I was just kidding. I was just going to say, a country singer.
I'm going to say C.
Wow.
No, not even the music, man.
She didn't even let us do the music. She didn't let me read it twice.
Sorry.
She deprived everyone at home of work. But that was, I'm sorry. But it was impressive.
Yes, it was.
And it was correct as well.
Faith is both a grace and a human act. Here's what the Catechism says in paragraph 154. Believing is possible only by grace and the interior helps of the Holy Spirit. But it's no less true that believing is an authentically human act. We have to respond to that grace and use our free will to do so.
So God doesn't just magically make us have faith. He offers us faith, and if we respond, then we have faith.
He gives us what theologians call operating grace, which doesn't which has an effect on us without our cooperation.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
To put us in the movement and direction toward God.
Yeah.
But ultimately, we have to cooperate and respond to that grace in order for that grace to fully flower within our souls.
All right. There's only two questions left, and then we will have a winner. You are required on your next question to use your lifeline of Pig Latin.
Required.
There's three questions left. Wait, there's three?
Three questions. Oh, no, I see two.
No, there's three. I'm sorry, because you got one. Okay, so I just want you to know on your next question, you got to use your Pig Latin lifeline, even if you know the answer. Okay? Aureli, your question, in morality, the principle. You don't like morality? You know what? That's probably why you like confession so much.
Wow!
Hey! In morality, the principle of double effect means, A, if an action has two effects, both must be good. B, if an action has a good effect, in some cases, an accompanying bad effect can be tolerated. Or C, if two people engage in an act together, it must have a good effect on both of them. In morality, the principle of double effect means, A, if an action has two effects, both must be good. B, if an action has a good effect, in some cases an accompanying bad effect can be tolerated. Or C, if two people engage in an act together, it must have a good effect on both of them. You do have one lifeline left.
We have two more questions after this?
No, this is... you have one more question after this. So this is one of your two last questions.
Can you repeat it again?
Yes, I can.
Please.
In morality, the principle of double effect means, A, if an action has two effects, both must be good. B, if an action has a good effect, in some cases an accompanying bad effect can be tolerated. Or C, if two people engage in an act together, it must have a good effect on both of them. Principle of double effect. A, B, or C?
Oh my God. I'm going to guess and go with A. Dang it.
Now we're tied.
Thank you.
The answer is actually, I hate to say this.
B?
It's B. Yes, if an action has a good effect, in some cases, an accompanying bad effect can be tolerated. Carlo?
Yeah, as long as that bad effect, number one, is not being intended, right? And as long as that bad effect is not being used as a means in order to achieve the good effect, right? And the action that you're engaging in is either morally good or it's at least indifferent, right? So those are a few of the principles. The New Catholic Encyclopedia, for example, has a great articulation of the four principles. And then there's also the idea of proportionality, right? So the good effect must be sufficiently desirable to compensate for allowing the bad effect. Like that good must be outweighing the bad effect that could possibly be tolerated.
Yeah. So the classic example is probably in warfare. That if you're engaged in warfare and someone's shooting from a house and they could kill all your comrades, there might be an innocent person in the house. You don't ever have the right to kill an innocent person, but in returning fire, a bad act might happen, but it could be tolerable.
A bad effect might happen.
Right. Yeah. But it could be tolerable if your point is that it's warfare and it's legitimate warfare and you're trying to save the life of your comrades. Mm-hmm. Okay. on to you, sleep deprived Rachel. Jesus is A, the only way to salvation. B, the only way to salvation unless a person has not heard the gospel. Or C, the only way to salvation for Christians, but not for other religions. Hang on, I know you're quick on the draw. Jesus is A, the only way to salvation, B, the only way to salvation unless a person has not heard the gospel, or C, the only way to salvation for Christians, but not for other religions.
You said I have to use a lifeline.
Oh, I forgot.
She is required.
You don't have
Could you repeat it, please?
Yeah.
I am very sleep deprived.
No, that's okay. Jesus is A, the only way to salvation, B, the only way to salvation unless a person has not heard the gospel, or C, the only way to salvation for Christians but not for other religions.
It's not C. Can you read B again, please?
Yeah. B is the only way to salvation unless a person has not heard the gospel.
What? He has to do the...
Do you want him to? All right, Carlo, sure. Give her the correct answer in egg lay, pat, and play.
Really? The pig Latin. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Hite in lioe ewe ote alvation se. I kind of like that. That's sounds good.
Alvation se. Why are you delaying? He just gave you the answer.
Yes.
Jesus is the only way to salvation. But that means if you never heard the gospel, you're going to hell then, Carlo.
Nope, because one who never heard the gospel and they're not responsible for their ignorance and lack of knowledge of the gospel, living according to the truth and the good that they come to know by the natural light of human reason or responding to any actual graces that God is giving them, it is possible for that person to be saved. But whatever grace that person is saved by is the grace of Jesus Christ. For only through Jesus do we have access to the Father. And Jesus said it himself in John 14:6, I am the way,
the truth, and the life.
And no one comes to the Father except by me.
We have to take a quick break, and then we will wrap up the first two parts of the game show and move on for one of you two to go to your final judgment.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
I'm a cab driver, and I drive only at night. Many of my customers are single mothers, people with negative attitudes and, you know, rude, and some of them are just plain nasty people. And I just want to praise God for this radio station, and I want to use it as a tool to introduce Jesus Christ to those who may not know him or refuse to accept him.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
St. John Paul II stated that, for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation.
So we know we're called, but how do we do it?
St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Game Show, Quiz Show, Final Judgment. I am Cy Keller, your game show host. Next to me is Carlo Broussard, apologist and author extraordinaire. And we have two contestants with us, Rachel and Arelli. And we got to go a little bit quicker this segment because we got to make sure someone gets the grand prize. The grand prize today, by the way, is one free course in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics. You get to go for free to one course at the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics. This is the last question of round two. It goes to you, Arelli. We are currently in a tie. So if you get this correct, we will have to go to the tiebreaker. If you do not get it correct, you are technically a loser. I'm saying technically, not you're not actually a loser.
But
I'm
technically speaking, I'm a loser.
Yes, according to the Catechism of the according to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which virtue is the foundation of prayer? Which virtue is the foundation of prayer? A, humility. B, courage. C, fortitude. Arelli, which
can I use virtue, my lifeline?
Yeah, you can. Which virtue is, but I have to read it for the people at home one more time. Which virtue is the foundation of prayer? Humility, courage, or fortitude?
Lifeline? Mm-hmm. So I got to eliminate
one. You eliminate one.
I'll eliminate fortitude.
It's either humility or courage. Which is the foundation
of prayer?
Humility.
Nice! Good job, nicely really. Done. We are tied, as sometimes happens at the end of two rounds. I have box A and box B in my hand. You get to pick whichever one you want, Rachel, because you were contestant number one. And whatever it says inside of this box is what we are going to do. So you go ahead and pick box A or box B.
B seems to be a theme today.
B seems to be the theme. B says, congratulations, you advance. Aurelia, I'm so sorry. Rachel, you go on to final judgment.
Traitor.
You traitor, she said. Oh, she's so mad.
Oh, no.
It was a tie, and you go on.
That's gonna be, so
and it happened to be
B. You should
have
told me that we were going to be against each other. I didn't know.
You guys can argue on the, in the car on the way home. Aurelie, I have to tell you, you have won. It was a tie. Come on.
It was
a tie. And you were a fantastic contestant. And so you get a copy of Carlo's book. Which one are we giving her? I forgot which one. Let's give her both. She gets both of Carlo's books.
Awesome.
She gets both.
Yes.
You just got a library of Broussard. All right. So we got to go to the final questions. And you can kind of, if you want, you can be a little bit of help to her.
No.
You can't under. No, don't say no.
Not.
That's mean.
I don't care.
Wow,
that
thank you.
All right, let me tell you how this works. There's seven true or false questions for each question. If you get the question right, you win a prize. And if you get all seven correct, you win a bonus prize, which is a free course in the Catholic Answer School of Apologetics. The first book you are playing for is called Meeting the Protestant Challenge. It is by our own guest, Carlo Broussard, and it comes from this true or false question. Are you ready?
Sure.
Rachel, true or false? The Synoptic Gospels were written before Matthew, Mark, and Luke. True or false? The Synoptic Gospels were written before Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
If I don't get it right, I don't advance.
No, no, you get all seven questions.
I have no idea. I'm going to say true.
Falso.
Can you give me the definition of synoptic?
Yes, the Synoptic Gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Oh, my gosh. What does the word synoptic mean?
It means the same view. They take the same view. John is different. He doesn't have quite the same view of the, at all.
I am sleep deprived.
But
this eye is slowly beginning to close.
This is like the 20th time she told us.
Because
yes.
Question
number two. Let's go on to question number two. You're doing great. The thing is, that book that we were going to give you... was it Prepare the Way? We're going to give you is an excellent book, and you
but
won't
you
be getting
worry,
it.
Don't worry, I'll
no,
get
it was Meeting the Protestant Challenge.
Oh, Meeting the Protestant Challenge.
But you
won't be getting
it.
That either.
You lost
okay, the
well,
Holy Spirit, this is true or false. Ready? True or false, okay. Rachel? The Holy Spirit is the lowest ranking member of the Trinity. True or false?
False.
Excellent.
Okay, great.
Well, what? Who
can
is
we
the
have
lowest?
Oh, yourself.
Okay. Well, after, hey, man, like, we're on the time.
Yeah, we
time
are kind
frame.
Of. But I kind of want to.
Holy Spirit is equal to the Father and the Son, and not inferior in some way.
Oh, and I didn't tell you what prize you were playing for. You just won the Bible is a Catholic book by Jimmy Akin. Congratulations!
Yay!
All right, this time you're playing for Tim Staples' book, Behold Your Mother.
Oh, that's a good book.
All of these books available at shop.catholic.com. The church, true or false? The church teaches that the Gospels are the heart of all the scriptures. True or false, Rachel? The church teaches that the Gospels are the heart of all the scriptures.
True?
Paragraph 125 in the Catechism, the Gospels are the heart of all the scriptures.
So you have two books so far. You have The Bible is a Catholic Book and Behold Your Mother. And I'll tell you what, just to make it interesting,
oh gosh,
I'm going to put the grand prize back on the table. You can if you can get the rest of these four, the next four right, you get the grand prize. True or false, Rachel? True or false? No Roman official is ever depicted having a positive relationship with Jesus. True or false, Rachel? No Roman official is ever depicted as having a positive relationship with Jesus.
False.
Why do you say false and roll your eyes at the same time? It seems like you really know this one. Why do you say false?
Well, because they're in my opinion, plenty of stories, probably just one. I've watched a lot of children's cartoons and Bible stories. But our Lord definitely had positive encounters with Roman officials.
You are correct. Got any in mind, Carlo?
Matthew 8, probably. Right?
In Matthew chapter 8.
The centurion comes to Jesus.
And Jesus says, I haven't found this kind of faith in all of Israel,
right?
To the Roman official. Okay, so you won on that one. Trent Horn's book, Counterfeit Christ. That was counterfeit. Now you're playing for Why We're Catholic Also by Trent Horn. Why We're Catholic Also by Trent Horn. True or false? In the first letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul argued forcefully that Christians should not be suing each other in Roman courts. True or false? In the first letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul argued forcefully that Christians should not be suing each other in the Roman courts.
I'm going to say, could you repeat the question?
True or false? In the first letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul argued forcefully that Christians should not be suing each other in Roman courts.
I'm going to say true.
Very good. Yeah, she must have read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, where Paul
Or she saw it in a kid's cartoon about the New Testament.
The truth comes out.
Paul hammers them pretty hard in saying that you shouldn't be doing this. And listen to what he says. Can it be that there is no man among you wise enough to decide between members of the brotherhood? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers? You could just hear
it. He's mad.
Oh, yeah, man.
Stop suing each other in court. Christians, work it out. He even says in there, it's better for a Christian to be cheated by another Christian than to sue them in a pagan court.
Interesting.
All right, question number 6. This time you're playing for A Daily Defense, Jimmy's book, 365 Days to Becoming a Better Apologist, plus one to Becoming a Better Apologist. True or false, Rachel? If you are not confirmed, you are not fully initiated into the church. Oh, I'm supposed to read it again. If you are not confirmed, you are not fully initiated into the Catholic Church.
Initiated?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm going to say true.
Very good. Paragraph 1275 in the Catechism. Christian initiation is accomplished by three sacraments together: baptism, confirmation, and the Eucharist.
You got one left. If you get this one correct, you win all those books that you have just won. Plus you win Prepare the Way, Carlo's book. Plus you win the grand prize of a free course at the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics. Are you ready?
Yes.
You seem so enthusiastic, Rachel. True or false? A person is an individual substance of a rational nature. True or false? A person is an individual substance of a rational nature.
This is very confusing.
It wasn't to Boethius.
Can you read it again?
Or to Thomas Aquinas. Can you True or false, again? Rachel, a person.
A person.
And this could be a divine person, the Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. This could be an angelic person.
Any person.
This could be a human person. Okay. A person is an individual substance of a rational nature.
Yes. I mean, true.
Good job. That's correct, and you got it right. Boethius.
Oh, my God. There's the applause. I was waiting for it. Good job.
Wow, that audience is big. We have a bigger audience than usual. That's great.
Some dancers, too. I was seeing them.
Congratulations. Let me just tell you what you have won. You have won The Bible is a Catholic Book, Behold Your Mother, Counterfeit Christ, Why We're Catholic, A Daily Defense, and Prepare the Way.
So funny.
And you have one free course at the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics.
Wow.
Wow. That is an impressive haul.
God's grace is true.
Amen,
Obviously,
sister.
Obviously, it's not with me.
And you know what?
Obviously, it's not with me.
You know what?
I'm just saying. No.
Just in lesser amounts.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh ye
goodness.
Of little
this
faith.
This is so crazy.
You have won both of Carlo Broussard's books. And not only that, I'm going to throw on top of that a free course at the Catholic School of Apologetics.
Yes. She needs it.
That's right.
I do.
She wanted it. She's been wanting. That's what I mean.
No,
she's
you're saying because
one.
She lost, she needs
no.
it. Very nice, Rachel.
No,
I really appreciate that.
She's so excited.
That beautiful sentiment.
Oh,
well, thank
goodness.
You both. You're wonderful representatives of young Catholic adults. You teaching young people.
Oh,
you
sleep deprived.
I don't know. Sleep deprived. I don't know what else.
You can do it.
But
oh my gosh.
That was very impressive, and it was really delightful to have you both here. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, bring your young adult group sometime, and we'll do an open forum for them.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we'll have them come, and they can ask all the questions they want.
Ooh.
Carlo, also you did a great job.
Yeah,
thank you, Si.
Very, very impressive. That Pig Latin is fantastic.
It was really good.
I'm working on it, man.
I realized that the question about 1 Corinthians, where St. Paul says, don't sue each other in courts, is kind of obscure. And you're probably like, why did Si even put that in there? But it's actually in the news this week. There's Catholics who are suing the U.S. Catholic bishops because they believe the U.S. Catholic bishops cheated them out of money. And immediately when I heard that, because there's a lot of kind of hardcore Catholics who are saying, good, sue those Catholic bishops. Get, you know, and I think, I don't know. Maybe you should go read St. Paul because he's really clear. Don't do that. It's better even to lose your money and be cheated. Then, and why do you think that is? I don't know what your impression of that would be, but it seems to me...
The only thought that comes to mind is he does say among Christian brethren,
right?
And so settle your differences amongst each other, not to say that you cannot sue absolutely speaking.
No, right? That's right. He doesn't say that. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want anyone listening to get a false impression about that.
But we are supposed to be an example of charity towards one another.
Of even how we can settle our differences and disagreements. Yeah.
Right, and go to a wise person in the church.
To help guide and lead us.
To help guide that. We still have wise people in the church.
Indeed we do. Amen. Only the unwise are the ones who get most of the time in the media, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And so that sort of paints a false picture of the wise ones and the holy ones that are there. And our minds, just given our fallen nature, we tend to gravitate towards the unwise and the corrupt ones and think that you know, subconsciously apply that to all of the clergy and all of our leaders, but that's not the case.
Again,
so a shout out to the wise ones and the holy ones.
Praise God. A shout out to them. Aureli and Rachel, thank you both very much.
Who are also very wise.
You really are a good example of young people taking the Catholic faith seriously and representing the gospel in a beautiful way. And your friendship is beautiful as well. Carla, thank you. And especially you, Rachel, because Aureli's mean and you're still a good friend to her. Carla, thank you.
You're welcome, brother.
Thank you so much for joining us on Monday. I think we're doing 2 hours of open forum for non-Catholics. So non-Catholics, call in on Monday. We'd love to take your calls then. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. Know it in your heart. Believe it. It's true. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... A few minutes each day can change your life during Lent. Ave Maria Press offers booklets for daily devotion, reflection, and more from such best-selling authors as Gary Zemak, Greg Kandra, Father Michael White, and Tom Corcoran, and so many more. Looking for Stations of the Cross booklets or books that are perfect for small groups? We have those too. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LENT20 to get 20% off your order today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.